Philippians 1, verses 23, 24, and 25 together, please.
But for I am in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. In having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith.
All right. So, 23, is it?
Yes.
What does it mean? Paul says, I am in a strait. What does that word strait mean? Any hands on that one, John?
Difficulty, a narrow place.
Difficulty, narrow place. Anna?
Sometimes it's used, like if you, I don't know if you've heard of the Strait of Gibraltar. I guess you can. You might be able to point it out on the bottom map there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's between Spain, the little southern part of Spain, and the northern tip of Africa, and it's a very narrow part of the way that you have to pass through. And you can't go too much to the north or too much to the south, or you're going to hit the land.
So it's a very tight place to go through. And when he's in a strait, what are the two places he might hit? One side or the other, it's difficult to go pass through. What are the two places to pass through? A strait betwixt two.
Well, John? Paul's on that. Well, he's betwixt his desire to depart to be with Christ or to stay there in the flesh and to aid them.
All right. And does he know which one is the way to go? What are the two possibilities? What will happen if you go one way? What happens the other way? It's Tammy and then John.
Well, it says in verse 23 at the end, to be with Christ, which is far better.
All right. John?
Yeah, he says that to be with Christ is far better, but you see in verse 24 at the end, that it's more needful for him to be with him.
Yes, people need him because he's a helper and one that assists in their ways in this life. And so, that's what. Now, how does he know that it's better to be with Christ? And he has on that. How does Paul absolutely, positively know? And he has on that. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261, 9018. Yeah, Bill.
Well, Paul had plenty of experience. He studied with Jesus while he was in the desert of Arabia. He was there for 3 years, and he studied directly under Christ at that time. And he also went to heaven, or so he thinks. He was not absolutely sure, but he has some experience there.
On what occasion did he go to heaven? What was the background of that, Tammy?
That's probably when he was stoned in Damascus, was it?
Yes. Dragged him out of the city.
Nicholas,
they dragged him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Bill?
Also, Paul had inspiration from Jesus Christ in order to write the books that we read from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he had a pretty good appreciation of what he was given in writing those books, the words that the Lord gave him. I think he was able to appreciate that.
Is heaven still better than this earth today?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Definitely better.
It's the goal.
And depart and be with Christ, which is far better. That's an instantaneous being with Christ. That's interesting. That's where those that die go, the spirits and souls go into heaven. My wife and others that are genuine Christians have experienced that. That's where they are, and they're far better. So these are things that he says, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, verse 22. What I shall choose, I what not. What means what?
No.
I know not. I don't know which one it is. But he's in a strait, verse 23, we said, but to be with Christ, far better. And that's true always. Does every Christian believe that?
No, not all.
No.
They should.
They should. But sometimes they say, well, I don't know where I'm going. But is that something just a guess, or is that positive for genuine Christians?
Positive.
positive, not just a guesswork. That's what God has told us in His Word, mm-hmm. that I will never cease or stop or fail. We'll be with Christ far better.
The answer from the body is be present with the Lord.
Present with the Lord, that's right. So then, that's verse 23. Did we read 24 yet? Yeah.
Yes, we read 24 and 25.
Okay, so, but nevertheless, what is that there for? Nevertheless, Paul says. What's the effect of that word? Tammy?
Well, in spite of it being far better to be with Christ,
all right.
He's contrasting what went before.
Now, is that selfishness to do that?
To contrast what went before?
No.
In other words, just because he wants to stay here, it's better for them. Is that selfishness on his part?
No.
No. What would be selfishness?
He didn't say he wanted to. He says it's more needful.
More needful. The selfishness would be forget the people, go straight to heaven in peace and righteousness and tremendous, and let them suffer. But more needful for those in the flesh to stay there, so Paul wants to stay and help them, which is a very good motive, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
To help others, not simply himself.
Mm-hmm.
At 10.
He recognizes that they need his teaching at this point in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That perhaps he's talking about a broader view than just the church in Philippi. Maybe he's referring to all of the churches that he began.
Mm-hmm. What I choose, I don't know. Straight in verse 23, desiring the part and to be with you, which is far better. Because they're needful, aren't they?
No, be with Christ, which is far better.
With Christ, which is far better.
Verse 24 is where we're at.
Yeah. Did we read 24 yet?
Yes.
Nevertheless, okay, to abide in the flesh, more needful for you. So he's considering the needfulness of these people, and he is concerned for them. Are all pastors concerned for the people to whom they minister, do you think?
No.
They don't think they are. Some are in it for position, some for money, control, different ones. But Paul had an interest in those people that he's got.
Many in the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, they care only about the money they can get for themselves.
Yes.
They're not concerned about the people. They're
exactly.
Pleasing the flock.
Exactly.
These are those evil pastors, abominable in the sight of God, that are mentioned about in some passages in the New Testament. We see in the Old Testament where he talks about these pastors, they're evil and mm-hmm. what they do, how they lead the flock astray.
I was talking to Henry today, and she had something to say about the New Calvinism. The New Calvinism, maybe Henry, you want to tell us about it? That'd be very good. Much far worse than even the regular Calvinism.
Mm-hmm.
A new look at it. So give us a call if you want, Anne-Marie, to tell us about it. If you wish, 856-261-9018 or questions at bftbc.org. Did we read 25 yet?
Yes.
But it's okay. Yeah, well, that's what it's about. More needful for you. And he was concerned about the more needs for them than for himself, right? They were first on his list as far as needs. Mm-hmm. His needs would be later. Rather to partner and be with Christ, which is far better. Number 25, 26, and 27. Let's read those.
Oh, read 25.
The right 25, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Having this confidence, what confidence does he have in verse 25? He hands on that. What confidence? Yeah, okay, just your family and Anna.
He seems to have a conviction that it would be better for the churches if he stayed on
this
earth.
All right, Anna?
We're basically the same thing.
All right. Mm-hmm. Abide and continue with you, helping them. That's what I wanted to do as a missionary and a helper. Continue with you. All for your furtherance and joy of faith. Two things he wants to give them. What are the two? And what does it mean? What's the first one? What's the first thing he wants to do with them? Well, what's the second thing he wants to have with them?
Mm-hmm. He wants to abide and continue.
He wants them to continue. That's number one.
No, he wants to continue with them. You understand?
All right. Well, having a desire to depart, be with Christ, nevertheless, abideth more needful for you, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. For what purpose? Yep, Tammy.
He's interested in their furtherance of spiritual growth and their joy.
Their joy. Growth and joy. Do all Christians have growth in their faith? They believe. No, I don't think they do. What's it, Paul? Or David?
Not all Christians have joy in their faith. Not all. They should.
They should have continuance in the faith and joy. Paul knew the discomfort of being in prison, and he was in prison there when he wrote the Philippians. But he wanted to have joy as well as prison. And that's possible as enough through Christ for you to be joyful. Joy and faith, those two things. That's 25. Did we read 26 yet?
No.
Let's read 26, 27, 28 together. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. Are those three verses in verse 27? 26. Your rejoicing may be that your rejoicing may be more abundant. What would more abundant rejoicing imply? And what would it be? And is that true of every genuine Christian? Yes, Tammy?
It implies that it would be in their joy in the Lord would be increasing.
All right. What would give Christians on this earth today cause for rejoicing and joy? What would be some of the things that would cause it? Bill and Anna.
Well, first of all, the return of Jesus to this world, that would be cause for rejoicing.
What else?
Well, I think in this verse it's referring to by my coming to you again. So Paul is going to come back to him. So I suppose if we want to apply it to today, we would say that having fellowship with other believers would be a cause for rejoicing.
Yes. Are all believers rejoicing? Are all believers rejoicing? No. Should they be rejoicing?
Yes.
Just think, what do they have to rejoice about? Let's list a few things. What do genuine Christians have to rejoice about?
Promise of a glorified body.
Glorified bodies when they're in heaven. What else? Tammy?
Home in heaven.
Home in heaven. What else? Tammy, Anna, and then Bill, or John?
They have fellowship with the creator of the universe. They have access to his throne room.
All right, John?
We have the comfort of dwelling within each and every one of us. If you're a genuine born-again Christian,
yep.
And we have continual supply and constant ability to tap into the power of the Holy Spirit.
We'll always have a supply of our needs.
Yep.
Or if we need it in heaven, I don't know what we need, but whatever we do need, God will supply it. And so there's much to be rejoicing in heaven. No sin there, no problems, no difficulties. The old devil and all of his followers, will they be there?
No.
No, not a single one. Do they think some of them are going to be there?
They may be delusional.
They think they are. Some of them believe that all of them are going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
If all were in heaven, they're wicked sinners and satanic. Would heaven be what heaven is going to be?
No.
No. It would be a monstrous, horrible thing. Yes.
As we see in the Old Testament, Satan seems to be delusional in that, because he says that he will be like the Most High. He will.
Yeah.
All these, you know.
Is it true or false?
Oh, it's absolutely false.
Absolutely false. No. Can't be that way.
But
you know, the devil's going to be like the devil is. Evil, wicked.
He's spiritually
corrupt.
Blind to the truth.
Blind. Can't see it all. So that was that 23 or 24?
25.
Where were we?
26.
Right? Okay, I'll get there in a minute.
Yeah.
Rejoicing more abundant in Christ Jesus.
And furthermore, he was going to be. Hello?
Yes.
He was going to be released from. If he came to them, he would be released from prison.
Mm hmm. And.
As he's writing, isn't he in prison? So they would be rejoicing that he is there. And not
yes.
In prison any longer. He's been released.
Yes, if that's the case, that's what coming to you
I
again.
This was one of the prison epistles.
Yes, it is. And he will be released eventually, but he'll be coming to them once again. They'll see him, have fellowship with him.
Right, so he would be released from prison.
Right.
So they're rejoicing about that as well.
Right. Did you read 77 yet?
Yes.
All
right. Well, then that's your conversation. What does that mean, that word usually referred to? What does conversation mean?
Yes. Their conduct, behavior.
Their conduct, behavior. Not necessarily what they're talking about, but the conduct and behavior. Conversation, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. What kind of conversation would that be? As it becometh the gospel. What would that be?
Should be godly.
Godly? Right. What else? What would be holy. Positive about it? What would be negative about it? If it's about heaven and the gospel of Christ, what would be the two sides of that gospel that people should know about? Well, which side would it be?
I would think one area would be, you know, separated as opposed to being ecumenical.
Okay, what else? There's a good side and a bad side of the gospel. What's the good side? What's the bad side? Is it the same for all in the world? The gospel?
Oh, yeah. Okay, on the good side, you know, Christ has made atonement, made provision for us. And if we accept that as free gift, and we have heaven. If we don't, then the bad side is hell.
Bad side is hell. That's great. It's a sad situation. It's a choice that we have, and not all make the right choice. Make the right choice for heaven. The wrong choice is just choiceless without any choice. Hell. You want to decide anything. When you don't decide for the Lord Jesus and his death and heaven itself, you go to the lake of fire. It's a sad situation. But he wants rejoicing, more abundant, to you, word, but your conversation with becometh. What does the word becometh mean? Becometh the gospel. Tanny?
It's fitting for the gospel.
Oh, that's fitting. That's right, fitting for the gospel of Christ. Should we know the gospel of Christ if we're going to use it to tell others about it?
Mm-hmm.
We should know it. Should all signs of it and all sides of it. The gospel of Christ. Now whether I come and see you. As Tammy said, he's going to be leaving soon from Philippi, released from prison. He's going to stay there all of his life.
No, he's not in Philippi, though, is he?
Well, he's in prison in Rome. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. In Rome. But he's ministering to the Philippians, though he's in the Roman prison. And he may come again and see them where they are eventually. But whether I come and see you or be absent, what may he hear about? He may never come back to the Philippian congregation. Anna?
Well, he wants to hear that they're standing together. They're strongly standing together with one spirit, one in mind. They're
yes.
Working together for the furtherance of the gospel, for the faith of the gospel.
Yes. He wants them to be right on target. Doing something about the gospel and for the gospel and for the Lord, whatever they do. And then whether is that an evident token of perdition. Now, what do you think that would... Excuse me. Did we read 25?
We read 28.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 28 is right. But what does that mean, to be terrified as an evident token of perdition? What do you think that token of perdition referred back to?
Well,
your time?
Those that aren't saved are going to go to hell. So, right. Damnation, that's what that word perdition is.
Right? And what does it mean, nothing terrified by your adversaries? Nothing terrified by your adversaries. What are some of these adversaries that Christians have, and these Philippians have?
I think when it says nothing terrified by our adversaries, it means that you're not going to change who you are, or you're not going to change the gospel based on what, being afraid of what people might think, whoever that may be, people you work with, people you are passing on the street, people, the government, etc., etc. So you're not supposed to be, you're supposed to not let what they're thinking dictate what you do.
Do adversaries attack you? Do they attack Christians?
Yes.
Yes, they certainly do. They argue, they fight, they carry on. Nothing to be terrified by. Let the Lord help us to keep us the peace that passeth understanding, so that no terrorists will terrify us in any measure. Yes, John?
Yeah, I think Paul probably, quite possibly thinking back to his own time when he was known as Saul, and how he persecuted the church.
Very much.
Say, don't be afraid of the adversaries like I once was. You know, I was once one of them. I persecuted the church. Don't be afraid of what they can do, because we, as the adversary, we see it as a token of the sign of you of perdition for you, but you know that it's salvation.
Right. It's a token of perdition for them to terrify. Did we read 29 yet?
No.
That's 29 and 30. Let's read those two. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake,
having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me.
Suffer with him, that's certainly something to put in there that Paul puts in. Why do you think he puts in that suffering? Here's our time to go, but we have a little discussion first. Wait a minute, I got the wrong ring. It's over here. I was going to stop my stopwatch, but that's not the right one. What sort of position is involved, you think, in that?
Here's the forecast for today.
Oh, my. We got the wrong button. It says we hit the right button. There. Stop. Well, why does it stop? It says snooze or stop. It won't stop. Well...
Is there a button on there for our tribulations?
What?
Is there a button on there for our rapture, I should say?
No. This, the end of Bible study, says stop. It says snooze, but...
Which one works? Snooze or stop?
I was trying to snooze, but that's just gone again. Well, let's just wait and see what happens.
So I guess we'll pick up at verse 29.
Yep.
Yeah. Pick it up at 29.
28.
Given to behalf of Christ, not to believe on it. Did we?
Yes, we read them.
Did we talk about that yet or not?
No, we haven't.
Didn't talk about that. All right, we'll pick that up at 29 and 30 tomorrow, and that'll be next Thursday. Any other comments or questions before we close? All right, John.